Every one of us lives in our own reality tunnel. We all create our own reality tunnel, different than anybody else's. There were no two of you that were in the same room. Most of the time we're screening out most of what can be perceived. Anybody who doubts that merely has to light one marijuana cigarette.
Hey, Steve, I've got a quick question for you. It might be off the record, too. One of the things that I've been thinking about is like the history of synchromysticism, and the thing that really impressed me when I went to Winnipeg was these artworks that Jake made early on before he knew what he was doing and before he could find like the tools to express himself. He was doing his artwork.
Yeah, I remember.
And so I've been talking to him a little bit about, you know, what's become of these. It's not like they were great art, but in the history of, like, I mean, they're really important in my mind because they're so elegantly communicating what he was trying to do, you know. Mm-hmm. See, he made these goofy little squiggle things where there are all these little squiggles, and they were all separate little things, but they all contributed to this whole thing, and they made this bigger picture. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is so great.
I don't remember those super simple ones, but he actually sent me like one of my most prized pieces of art that I own, and that's
what I was getting at.
Yeah, I love it. I see it every day. It's in my office. It's like, it's the three towers at the World Trade Center, and this helicopter at the base with these different numbers that relate to the Giza complex and the tarot cards. And he just did it in such an artful way that it reminded me of some of the hieroglyphs at the Temple of Abydos, and like, it's just so simple and perfect, and it explains what he's trying to express without having to describe it at all.
Right. And then is that the one – does it have like a sea serpent somewhere in the water too?
I'm not at my office. I'm actually at James's house, so okay. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But I'll
How big is that piece?
How big is it?
Is it like a standard sheet of paper, or is it a bigger thing?
Yeah, it's a standard sheet of paper. Huh. I'll email you a picture of it because
I think I know what you're talking about. Okay. One of the things that I'm toying with is the idea of like a, you know, so we're always I'm thinking about how to get as much density as we can, like get a reason for people to come together. And I was thinking that like a synchromistic art show would actually be interesting because there's enough artists in the community that you could get a lot of people together. I mean, this would be a year down the road or something, but.
Yeah, that'd be great. Or like you could even put it on T-shirts and stuff. I'd wear that.
Yeah, I've often thought about it.
I know we've been talking about that for like forever, but that's still a good idea. I think it would be great. And we could add it to the Sync website at like a clothing line.
Dude, I got to tell you, man. I went down to Orlando. I did a Sync video for Rose McGowan, and I went down to Orlando with Andras Jones. And it cost me a little bit of cash, but just to try to present her and get – you know, the actors interested into that thought formation. And I walked up in there and everybody was giving me weird eyes. I mean, I'm kind of like just a normal dude, and I'm walking around in this horror movie place, so everybody's kind of looking at me weird with my Rolling Stones T-shirt. But I went back.
Was she promoting some kind of horror movie she was in?
Oh, no, it was a horror movie convention, and she's been in, like, I mean, she was in Scream, and she was in what's the one? Death Proof with the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So she's been into a couple of horror movies, and she was in Charmed. There's a certain amount of things that they were promoting her for, but this is a horror movie convention, so where there's a bunch of different horror movie actors. I learned a lot about the culture of actors from that experience, and kind of not really truly being behind the scenes, but actually getting to sit down at a table and drink alcohol with actors or people who have been in movies and TV shows. I mean, it's a real fucking industry, and these guys have these conventions where they come in and sit at tables and sign autographs. But I went back to the hotel room because I was being unsuccessful with anybody giving me the time of day, and I put on a Labyrinth of the Psychonaut T-shirt, and I went back up in that piece and rocked it. and it worked. As soon as people saw that shit, like, people started responding, and I looked like I belonged at a horror movie convention. I don't mean for that to sound correct.
Ezra and I were talking about that the other day. He's a pretty sensitive guy. He's a Pisces, and he was just tracking that, like, in our younger days, that we had this, like, really thick Luciferian vibe when we were still discerning the difference between sort of good and evil and whether or not we gave a shit about the dualism of either. And, like, all the mystery schools that we were researching at the time, Freemasonry and everything else, had this, like, Luciferian bent to it. And I was in a black metal band, so I already had this, like, satanic, you know, huge ego that was, like, growing and growing that, you know, had no doubt it played a part in my personality and interwoven to some of my videos, even subconsciously, even if I didn't mean to. But, like, I don't know, I'm at a place now where none of that stuff means anything to me. Like, I don't really view all that. I mean, all that stuff was very cultish. It was very cult-mind. So one of the things that I would do in my videos now is try to remain as neutral as possible and, like, limit those energies from incorporating into my art form. And, I, you know, I feel like Jake did a really good job of being neutral about it, even when he was, like, picked on in interviews and stuff for not, like, playing into the conspiratorial, like, evil mindset of some of these organizations. He would pick a path that I thought was a good one, and he would either have no comment or he'd be completely neutral to it. And I wish I would have tried harder to do the same. But that's why my shirts and my symbols and stuff have that sort of energetic signature to them, and they get people to look and pay attention to it, because, you know, just like when you see people holding up, like, the Illuminati eye at, like, Jay-Z concerts or Beyonce concerts, there's just something kind of scary about the unknown, that there could be this really large cultish mind at work. And it draws people's consciousness, whether they know what it's about or not. It intrigues people.
What has this change in you done to your music taste? I mean, obviously you're way into music. You've been doing music and stuff for a long time. Plus your relationship to Ezra, I think, would be evidence of the same. But what I guess what I'm asking is, what is your taste now in music compared to before?
I don't really listen to a lot of metal anymore. I listen to, like, all that really hardcore aggressive music coming out of, like, Scandinavian stuff when I was in my early 20s. And now I like a more progressive psychedelic 70s and 60s stuff and classical music. And it's just broadened a lot. All that aggression, like, that came from, like, enjoying metal and punk rock and stuff is there still. But I feel like to truly embody it and to not feel like such a poser, you have to kind of have that idea of you're immortal still. And you only have that when you're, like, 16 to 19 years old. You kind of lose that. After you get your first, like, major injury, or you see that you're going to be here for a finite period of time, you're just like, okay, this is kind of bullshit. So it just evolved and changed. Not better or worse. It's just what it is.
So who are you listening to right now then?
I'm a
music
lover.
This shit interests the hell out of me.
Boards of Canada, Ulver, King Crimson, this band Opeth I still listen to, Porcupine Tree, Steve Wilson.
You were the Dave Matthews guy, right? You're really into Dave Matthews.
Bastard. That was totally Justin Morgan's stupid shit. He's so funny.
He drives this man in black car, right? And he pulls up and then he's cranking Dave Matthews.
The original joke was that
thumping it.
What was really funny is with the song came
what
on the radio.
What do you say?
Yeah. No. Okay. So that song came on my car, and Justin's like, "Oh, I love this song." Because he thought it was "Word Up," that 80s song "Word Up."
Right.
You're like "Word Up," he thought it was that, and immediately he was wrong. And it was Dave Matthews, and I gave him shit about it. And then he flipped it on me. He's like, "Steve loves fucking Dave Matthews." Not it. You're a devilish bastard.
He really is. He is. I like that guy.
Have you been to his house, Doug? You have.
Yeah,
right?
I think, I was there last summer, and then you came right after me, or you came right before me, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Did you see his massive shrine thing that he has? The skull, tarot card, snakeskin stuff? Maybe you didn't have that up by then.
I don't know. Well, you've been through a few times, or at least twice, right?
Yeah. We went out the last time. My girlfriend Melly and I went to, like, have sushi with him and his girlfriend Molly. Molly's awesome, too. They're a really great couple. I like those two.
Yeah, she came. So they came up to the cabin in Washington. So, like, we – Jason and Alan and I met at your place a couple summers back. Uh-huh. And then when we – drove up to – wait, Justin was there.
Have you, not to go on a tangent, but have you talked to Alan lately? Because last time, he called me like last month, like looking for places in Portland to move.
He's in North Carolina now. He has a job at a head shop and he's doing well.
Well, that, thank you. That sums that up for me.
Yeah, I think
he was having
the intention was to get to the West Coast, but
what's in North Carolina? Does he have family there?
No, I mean, he seriously was having like an I Heart Huckabee kind of situation where he didn't know what the fuck was going on. But I can't remember exactly what it was that took him to North Carolina. They were in Virginia.
They must have friends there.
What's that?
I think they must have friends there, and then it's like 8 hours away from where her family lives. And so like they're taking baby steps to Portland. They'll be there.
They took it in the wrong direction across the country.
He was hitting me up about Denver and all kinds of stuff, but he's doing good. I mean, now that he's got a job, I think it's interesting because they're going to be doing a show with Jake tomorrow. I think the way it's scheduled is to do a show tomorrow.
And always record.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this, old school synchromistic week for the Sync Book Radio.
Cool, man.
You guys influenced a lot of motherfuckers. I mean, you guys, because of, you know, Jake's foundation, but like I said, you were the weaver who never steeled for years there. You were popping out videos like every 2 weeks or something. And that shit did it. That did the job.
That's awesome. That's what I wanted to do, man. I just wanted to just like set in motion for another wave to come after and show people that you could think poetically and nonlinear about certain things and look into really mundane media and stuff and find all kinds of nuggets and breadcrumbs that even people that research advanced physics and the sciences can find in the other aspect of the left-hand brain. You could arrive at the same conclusions using the creative mind as you can the engineering mind. That was the whole reason why I did the videos. There wasn't a visual element to what we were talking about, and I just wanted to lend some kind of right brain interpretation of the whole thing. And I felt like I did that pretty well. And that's good, man.
Yeah.
All good. And I got to meet all you guys. It was great. Well, what's that plans for the Sync Cabin 2013? Because I've got an event planner girlfriend now. She's got things on the fucking calendar for July already. I want to know what's going on.
I don't know if you've heard, I'm having a baby this summer.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I said the same shit. Like, what are you thinking?
It was Luke Skywalker. The blast shield went up, and then we fired that thing into the Death Star, right?
Damn, Doug.
That's a one in a million shot, kid. Let's blow this thing and get out of here.
Damn your fertile sperm.
I know.
Just like Beggar's Canyon back home.
Yeah, right. Womp rats and 300 parsecs.
Doug doesn't know how to not make a baby.
So if there's anything, it's gonna have to include a lot of serendipity, I think. Because it would either be – I mean, I can't do anything that's not in
June,
I think.
You made this comment a long time ago, Steve, and it's still like a dream of mine. I mean, we need to do talks. We need to have like a damn convention where individuals like Jake and – people like that get to put on presentations and not, I mean, like a workshop type environment where there's like a seminar and stuff.
I used to get a lot of emails about what university people should go to. People would ask me advice on what to major in school. And by the way, I was not responsible for Ezra dropping out of college. I don't know what the fuck that was about. I did not tell him to drop out of school. He did that on his own. That's what he said when he was on. Ezra said that I made him drop out of college. I did not do that.
Pornography.
That was not me. But I would get a lot of people asking where they could learn about synchromysticism, and if I taught at a school or if there's a university they could go to like learn about it. And Jungian synchronicity, we didn't deviate that much from that. It's if Jung was around today and we told him about synchromysticism, he'd be like, oh, okay, I did that mostly. So it's not like we really were jettisoning away too far from what brilliant psychologists were doing hundreds of years ago, but we're doing it in a way that's modern, in a way that internet speak has allowed us to do. And
I think the thing that we do that there's something about the media and the mediated society that we are in now where we're utilizing the collective unconscious of the media to try and discern the larger pattern of the whole.
We have tools that were not available to them, and that gives us an advantage for sure.
So like a lot of synchronicity, as I read various things where people are looking at signs and symbols in their life, it seems like it's all personal. But part of this is this larger, like, narrative or mythology that we're. So you're talking about the Pope and this play they're enacting. It's like, yeah, sure. Is this conscious or not? Who knows?
It doesn't matter at that point, though. I mean, right. Just then, as long as, like, it's happening, I guess.
To plug.
The most interesting thing to me about the Pope thing is that it has nothing to do with the Christ story or Christianity at all. Everything that the Vatican represents architecturally, to the people that they hire, to the way they run their church like a business with top CEOs like the Pope, it's like it all predates Christianity by so much time. There'd be no reason for them to drag hieroglyphic monoliths from Egypt to Vatican City, or for them to have a big star map inlaid and designed to Vatican City. It's so much older than what a billion people, or most of those billion people, believe that the religion purports. And it's like about time for the whole thing to crumble and like some revelation come to the surface. And I hope that's, but by analyzing all these breadcrumbs, if I see one thing in my lifetime, it's like I want to see that come to some kind of fruition, where that whole idea comes crumbling down and we could actually think outside the box as a collective species where we don't have this degree of separateness. You know, the idea of otherness is something that we could all share, and there's no segregation, and there's no economic or political boundaries that can, like, stop us from realizing that. So that's what I hope to see in my lifetime. And that's analyzing this stuff. It's just like looking at possible futures. You know how Goro does his work, because he wants to actually map and track what he thinks future probabilities are going to happen. So he looks at, like, earthquakes and things that happen around the globe as precursors to something bigger. And, like, there's a hope in every synchronistic, I think, to see that happen, that final curtain drop down, and at least have some kind of staging of, like, all the fucking lies and, like, the hidden truths behind what we think are, you know, superficial truths of our religions and everything else. We take that at face value, and that needs to just fucking disappear already. It's 2013. We're in the future. It's about time. It's medieval logic. Most people have a medieval logic about these things, and I just want that to change.
Nice. All right. So, gentlemen, it seems that we have been on the air recording for about an hour now, maybe a little under.
Okay.
So that gives us plenty of material to work with. Do you have anything else to ask? I mean, we already talked about the future project with Ezra and everything.
I think we're good. I think we're good.
All right, guys.
Yeah. So to answer your question, my initial thought was that I was going to track us down a cabin somewhere in the what are those mountains called? The Sierras.
I had a
couple leads on the Nevada side, and then a lead on the California side. But, you know, it would put us right in the neighborhood of Yosemite, and it would be super awesome. It would be awesome. But
Yosemite trip would be great, man.
It'd be a nice, easy way to, like, fly in, and we all take over Justin's house. You know, but then this thing happened. And so I just don't see me. I don't
this
see
thing?
Me doing it.
Are you referring to the pregnancy of your child?
Yes. Yes, yes. My daughter will be – I'm going to be
– So you know, what the, you know what the
you could,
gender –
You could send Will in your stead this time if it's not in the cards for you.
It's not in the cards for me. If you guys
well,
want to come back
to come
Idaho –
to Denver, I can hook that shit up too. But
Mile High, Rocky Mountain High.
Right? And that shit's legal now. It's just legal now. We could all head up to Estes Park, you know, visit the Stanley, like,
yeah.
Have a little bit of a shining moment, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
But where are you now? You're in Oregon, Washington.
Portland.
Right? The Washington is what? Did Oregon legalize marijuana or no?
It's medically legal, but not state legal.
And what about you? I mean, are you using?
Not really. I mean, I smoke, but, like, not as much as – not that much. Not very often.
All right. I'm just checking. I hope that wasn't – I won't use that.
You know Will's a cop, right? Will's a cop.
Doug's had a theory that I'm a cop this whole time that has infiltrated the synchromystic front lines for years now.
That's the weirdest undercover job I've ever heard of.
See, what happened is he got in so deep it started blowing his mind. Like, oh, you can't believe what these guys
he just forgot he was a cop altogether.
He did. It's like, oh, I can't go back to the force. This is so awesome.
Don't Donnie Brasco me, man.
Fucking Donnie Brasco. My one dream in life is to triple cross somebody. I'd love to triple cross somebody. I'm going to work on that.
All right, I think I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah,
all
right. That's it.
Congratulations, Doug.
You bet. Thank you.
Right on.
It's exciting.
All right, well, talk
so
to you.
We'll just see what happens. There might be a Sync Kevin 3. We'll just see.
Okay. All right, good night, guys.
Okay,
take care. Bye-bye, guys. Bye.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Excellent.
Just hanging out with my my friend James, looking at Syriac writing or Aramaic.
Cool.
He's a linguist, and we're just like analyzing the text and going over what the hell was in the thought process of the people that wrote that, because it's an extreme language.
That's what I do on my Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Are you sick, Will?
Last night I went to the studio, and we're in a small room with little to no ventilation, and all those motherfuckers smoke cigarettes.
Ah.
So I woke up this morning and almost lost my voice. But I'm all right.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Same boat, Will.
Is it cold up there?
Fuck yeah, it's cold up here.
Oh, wait. Let me hit my button here. I don't have Portland in the. You're in Portland right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll add you.
Mm.
All right,
we are recording, gentlemen.
Let's see. Portland, Oregon. Let's see how cold you are. Done. 48.
I guess it's not that bad. Just whining.
No, I know. When it seems like Seattle, Portland, the cold is different there because it's kind of a humid, chilly cold.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get the email that I sent you, Will?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay, I forgot. It's so funny because tomorrow's Valentine's Day, right?
Right.
And so my wife had this brilliant. My daughter's obsessed with turtles right now, and so we're making
Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, just turtles. She wants a turtle, and so we thought it would be really cute to do origami turtles as Valentine's. Or I didn't think this. So we just folded 50 origami turtles and put a little Linder ball under the shell of every one.
Oh, that's awesome.
We got into the zone. We just started folding turtles, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like we looked up and it's 9:30. I'm like, oh God, I forgot this thing.
No. Do you have any romantic plans with the wife, Doug?
We went out last night. Oh. Probably not tomorrow. We may go out to dinner as a team.
I imagine Mr. Wilner's got something planned though. You seem like a slippery tongued poet.
Yeah, I'm just going to a Peruvian restaurant, and then we're going to
Peruvian food. Love.
And then we're going to a fire dancing show. This troupe called Wanderlust Circus puts on.
Cool.
So should be a pretty spicy evening.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. So, Douglas, official time clock?
Yes. I have my email up. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love what you're doing, wasting all these years. Look how you're
lot of ground. But I'd like to ask you, as far as music goes, what have been the most, like, what have been the inspirations or the influences that have really, like, everybody has these life-changing bands, man. I want to know who yours are.
Life-changing bands, like musical influences?
Yeah.
There's plenty. It depends on the era, though. I mean, like, who am I into right now? Or
yeah,
like,
who are you into right now?
That's a good place.
I came across this guy, Ariel Pink, and R. Stevie Moore. Have you guys seen their stuff?
Mm-mm.
They're based out of L.A. They're like home recording artists. They're kind of outsider artists, but they write pop music, and they write really good, like, inventive pop music. But they're freaks, man. I don't know. I like them. And they're really inventive songwriters. I'm into them, and I like all the John Zorn stuff coming out of the East Coast. So pretty much everything that comes off Scotty, I've enjoyed. K.O. Dot and Naked City and all that stuff.
Yeah.
As far as
what I meant to ask was, like, there's been these, you know, dude, there was this one Tool concert. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just these things.
Oh, yeah, there is something. There's one particular thing. I mean, there's literally one thing that catalyzed my whole process of looking. Like, this was the thing that started the whole journey. I don't know if I can tell you guys what it was, though.
Let me hear it, damn it.
It's too good, man. It's too special. I'll tell you next time. Well,
there you go. Okay.
All right. Right on. So, I mean, and how did the course go? Because are you still doing these classes, or?
I might do it as a, like, if Steve and I decide we want to fully launch this, and Justin Morgan's back in the project, too, so he's on board with what the three of us are talking about getting together and making it happen. If that all goes down, then one of the ways I try to attract some contributions from people who might be interested in supporting us is through offering a round of Tone Called Alchemy classes at, like, a high buy-in, so people can, you know, feel like they're really getting something of value. So if that happens, then yeah. But otherwise, no, I probably won't launch another one. I don't have much else, you know, that I feel I'm really, like, burning to say or to teach or anything like that.
I love it. I mean, if you think, going back to Oz, this whole Over the Rainbow, and how that was catalyzed in, you know, this song by Judy Garland or whatever. But then you have the relationship that everybody has to Pink Floyd and how important they are and their connection to...
That is fascinating, actually, because as far as American mythology goes, The Wizard of Oz is, like, it is super ingrained. That's going to be one of these stories that lasts. If the human race continues, it's going to be around for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then the fact that Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Rainbow and then these two things are so integrated into sync, like those two components, because The Wizard of Oz kind of speaks to this notion of other worlds and how the other worlds are acting at, you know, simultaneously. Like, there's this bleed through where the people from this life are the same in this life, only they have different roles in this life, but it's actually kind of the same.
Right. This dream world. Mm-hmm.
Where you have these archetypes that resonate in your life and reappear.
See,
I feel like Oz and Kansas are, like, they're not separate. They're fully integrated. It's just our perception kind of is sometimes...
Well, get this, man. I mean, if you really want to trip out, listen to this. My name in Hebrew is spelled Oz, O-Z-R-A, Ozra. And, my life basically, this whole path started while I was in Kansas. I started my very first music blog when I was in Kansas. It's literally been a trip of, like, I'm not in Kansas anymore, and I was searching for the wizard, and I found the wizard on the West Coast.
Oh, my God.
It was me playing the role of, like, connecting with older men in the field and realizing that tarot was child's play, you know? And being like, oh, I need to, like, fucking build some muscles and, like, find a woman and fucking build a life for myself.
Yeah.
Just
like enlightenment of the body.
The enlightenment of the body.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
I like the combination of psychedelics and music as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, especially with the Dark Side of the Rainbow thing, like it makes me want to review that, like even just to watch those two superimposed and see if there's any good synchromusicological, pop outs that happen. I'm sure there would be.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's an angle of synchromysticism that I feel like was always neglected. Like there weren't enough musicians in the field to be noticing the music thing. Nobody ever pointed it out. Like people would see the actors and the. Like a lot of content, but like very, very rarely did anybody notice music syncs. Whereas like that was what was most often pointed, popping up.
I don't do it often, but music videos are insane to me. Like, what do you feel about all of this? Like the whole conspiratorial side of Illuminati's influence on pop music. Where's your stance on all of that?
Well, I mean, I feel like Illuminati are us kind of situation. Like, I feel like I'm a member of the Illuminati. I got no objection to it.
that's the right answer, I think, too. You just pulled the blanket right from the conspiracy a little bit.
Right. No, but I mean, keep in mind, that was, Robert Anton Wilson said, I like to think of the Illuminati as me and my friends.
Right.
Any other narrative is a disempowering worldview.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what... It was kind of a joke, but it's true, too. I mean, I'm not really afraid. I've seen a lot of Illuminati imagery and philosophy, and none of it has really made me feel like even the Nazi propaganda was basically a pro-personal power agenda. I think it was misapplied will, magical will.
Right.
Right,
right.
They had kind of a narrow idea of what
power was.
Or what who the people were. So it's like, they were really empowered about their idea of
this. Well, music has always been a political tool as well, though. So music also dictates fashion and style. It also dictates like certain points of view. You can always drive by a concert and know who's going to be playing that night based on the crowd that's outside.
Oh, for sure.
So it's very, it makes group thought cohesive in a lot of ways, like depending on whatever music it is or whatnot. It's very propaganda. It is magic. I mean, this goes back to the whole magic. I just can't.
It's culture creation.
Right, it is.
Everybody thinks they have a different thing because they put on a different costume, like the punks and the classical music and the hip hop. And every scene is supposedly different, but they're all based on 12-tone music. And 12-tone music is all astrotheological. It's all astrotheology, and nobody knows it. So that's the part that I was always like, wow, this is like totally unrecognized by the masses of people who go on thinking they have their own unique.
Now that would be my big question, though. Now, do you think that's intentional by the people in the early classical period as they're creating their idea of pop music, or is this something that just bled through the universe into these musical systems?
I don't really believe in the ability for human ego to
create
that much sway in things.
Okay.
Like, I mean, think about an angry toddler. An angry toddler is like the ultimate Illuminati bad guy. It just wants everything for itself. It like wants mommy's nipple all the time, and
right.
If it doesn't get it, it's like screaming and raging, And like that's the ultimate negative manifestation of that power trip, of like wanting something and not getting it and flipping out. Well, I kind of feel like what happens in reality with history isn't so much like one group of shakers and movers who like chooses to impose something upon everybody else. Instead, it's like there's like 50 people, there's 50 shakers and movers in different organizations that are all vying for power, and it's kind of a battle of the wills, but also a combination of luck and chance and all of that. Very Darwinian sort of approach to the whole conspiracy thing is like, whichever conspiracy survives, survival of the wittiest, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is the larger conspiracy is the collective agreement to eventually settle on this 12-tone system. I mean, it doesn't really matter who it was who finally got it into place. It's the fact that now, billions of people go on completely unconsciously thinking that they're different, like, you know, that they're different from their brother and their sister because they like a different type of music, one that's all based on the same tone.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And it's almost universal. I know that it's not completely universal. There are other cultures that don't have the same tonal system, but Western pop music is so pervasive that it's out there.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, I think African music might be some of the last vestige of hope we have, and like Inuit or something. That even African music, West African music, has for a long time integrated electric guitar. I mean, it's been at least 60 years since there's been recorded, documented evidence of them using electric, you know, amplified guitars. So we have to keep that in mind too, that it's like, There is really no untouched land anymore. It's any place that's not affected by Western music. It's like a virus.
Well,
it's corrupted the whole humankind.
Okay. When you were talking about African and electric guitars, all I could think about was what Robert Johnson at the Crossroads.
Oh, yeah, the Crossroads.
And the devil, I mean, what is it with this mythology of the devil? Isn't it in a way, you're talking about it being a virus and stuff like that. Is music sinful?
Huh. Well, if you anagram music, it says two things. The first thing it says is sick, right? The second thing is come. Music is come. So is it sinful? Well, yeah, I don't know. Are sacred fluids sinful? It depends on who you ask and where you put the sacred fluids. I mean, you know, so there's an appropriate time and place for music. And as for Robert Johnson, I mean, he was a member of the 27 Club. He was wrapped up into that even larger mythology, the pop mythology around these, like, musical superheroes who basically completely give themselves over to this craft, but then later on are, you know, subdued into mental illness or addiction or, you know, mysterious death or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 11 o'clock.
Okay, well,
no,
let's go.
Right. Because I reimagined, I spent a lot of time at this dog park, and I ended up writing a story about it, but, like, one day I went to the dog park and Rihanna was there. And, you know, I had to go and approach her. It's like, what are you doing at the dog park? And she's like, what are you doing at the dog park?
You've mentioned this before. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, it's like the whole existential trip, you know. Like, here you go and you approach. But it turns out Rihanna's the devil. And she would give me anything I want.
Right.
It just cost me my soul.
Right.
And that's why she's saying, what are you doing at the dog park? So it's like, what... That's the lesson. It's like, what do you want?
I don't know. I just
What do you guys want?
I want Rihanna. Shit. I'm just kidding.
I want diamonds.
I want diamonds.
Ride like a diamond.
Shine like a diamond.
Diamond.
Oh my God.
But the twist in my story was that. My soul, we think of our soul as an abstract thing, and in this case it was my dog. So, like, she wanted to trade whatever I wanted for my dog. It's like, so what would you trade your dog for?
Seriously, what the fuck are you talking about?
You mentioned Robert Johnson at the Crossroads with the devil, and so it's remarkable because I
And you're at the dog park with Rihanna, and those are the
that
same thing?
That is the same. The dog park with Rihanna.
You've mentioned this so many times, and I'm still so interested.
You guys are getting delirious.
2012.
Oh,
it's 2012.
God.
And we have to do it again because we don't have a copy editor.
It's Groundhog Day. Need a time machine.
That's interesting, though. The loop, you know what I mean? This whole idea of a loop and the repetitiveness of being on a tape, a thin film, where you can barely see the other side when it's going between a head, you know, on a tape player. That's cool, too, though. It's a tape head.
Oh, yeah.
Very sexual at the same time.
Okay, maybe that'll be my last official. It's not official, but so like interviewee type question is. So one of the things I think about is how, for years, you know, the instrument of whatever generation was kind of the things that were available and sometimes which was cheap. And so you think of jazz and everyone played like wind instruments or whatever. And then the Beatles came and said, look at, you can, anyone can be, you know, you can have a band and this is what a band is. And so you've got drums, bass, guitar, and all those other instruments kind of just waned. And now even those are kind of waning. It seems like the instrument is the computer where, and I was thinking about this when you're talking about Steve's video, where he's taking all these different things but totally repurposing them. And it's like, you know, I don't know why there should be any question of ownership because, you know, this is what art is. It's like remixing the existing thing to make it relevant to right now.
There's this, that saying about by Plato about how the kids are deluded by the new song the singers are singing. But there's always this want for more music. The culture is driven by this, the next new novelty, the next new thing. The next song that the singers are singing. It's the Pied Piper.
But even with, I guess we'll have to talk to Joe Alexander next because his ThinkBook piece was about auto-tune, but you know, like the whole, there's this interesting Android thing where we're interfacing with reality through our with our smartphones, and music is becoming real. There's like this the metronomic drum beat in all the songs, like this real robotic quality to pop music, I'd say.
It's become quantized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so Pro Tools. We've become.
Yeah. What do you think about the ability for anybody to make music now? I mean, what has that done? Is that a good thing or a bad?
You know, I heard somebody describe it as the democratization of music. I mean, it makes home recording more available now than it ever has been. So I think that's fucking rad. I don't like that so many people take that and then just replicate whatever they're hearing on the radio or whatever is being, you know, spoon-fed to them by their, like, immediate surroundings. I wish people were a little more inventive, you know, and also exploring their own subconscious and just letting flow out whatever comes out. But that's not really a product of recording on a computer. That's more just like my own beef with the degeneration of songwriting and majority of people's craft. But I do feel like computers playing a huge role in that because it makes it so easy to write a song. Like, you have the whole formula now. So if you go to Guitar Center, you get your amp, your guitar, your bass amp, your drum set, your vocals, mic. You know, if you've got the cash, you can, like, you have your whole band at your disposal. And if you can, like, play a couple chords and you know, like, some musical niche you want to stick into, you just plug right on in and you'll get some hits on, you know, on some website and somebody will think that you're something. And then that'll validate your sense of self-importance, you know, enough to keep doing it long enough to realize that, you know, you put out a bunch of albums sounding to sound like everybody else's stuff and you haven't ever really expressed your own soul. And at that point, it's too late. You know, your career has been defined by somebody else's sound and what other people thought of you. So that's what I'm not into, and I just do that all over the music industry. It's kind of why I got out.
Nice. Okay.
Anyway, thank you guys. I mean, I appreciate, like, being in the role of being asked questions because it's so fun to just explore. It's like, oh, yeah, what do I think about that?
Yeah, there's something nice about that format.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for playing that role.
Well, thanks for coming on. You were a great guest, and I had a blast. This was a good talk.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I'm glad we finally get to talk.
And
are you guys, remind me, are you guys, I think you told me at the beginning where you guys are at, but is it like, are you somewhere on the West Coast? Or
Pacific Northwest? Or what do you think of yourself, Will?
Midwest. Yeah, I'm in Denver, so it's like...
Denver, okay.
You're in the Mountain West.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then depending on how I'm feeling, I could be Mountain West or Pacific Northwest.
I don't think it's West Coast. Colorado's weird because Colorado
Pacific Northwest.
Influenced. it's influenced by California a great deal, but it's still like strange. I mean, there's a feel to the West Coast all the way up the coast. I mean, there's like there's just this whole liberal thing of, I mean, it's been said over and over again. But, well, thank you for everything, good sir, and I hope that, you know, we'll figure.
Oh, but then
Maybe we can pull you guys over into Portland sometime this year, and we can all have the grand feast. We'll get Justin Morgan up there, and you know.
Well,
I think it sounds pretty possible.
Justin Morgan is my hiking buddy.
Oh, sweet. I tried fishing Alan out here. I actually, like, cast the line and tugged, but then unfortunately I let go of the pole. Like, or it wasn't me, but the boat was tumultuous. Like, the surroundings, I couldn't pull him in really because the work wasn't there. But I really wanted him to be out here. Like, I freaking love that guy. And his wife, Melissa, seems really sweet. And, like, I just, my vision is let's get all the sink heads in like one city and see what happens.
That may happen.
Come to Portland, guys.
I don't know. Come on
over.
All right, wonderful.
You know where to find us.
Well, you guys have a very good night, okay? And we shall.
Yeah.
You tape
the after the interview stuff, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir. I'm still hoping to interview Steve. I know that it's kind of limited on what we would talk about, but my intention was to have both you guys on a show each.
And then we
got about 15 minutes of extra stuff. We can mix that in with Steve's, and it kind of creates like a little package with a little bit of information on what's to come from you guys. But,
well,
I mean, we haven't caught up
like
with Steve.
Do what you will, basically. You're free. You're at liberty to do whatever you want with anything I've said since you've been on the phone. So, and if you want to get together again with Steve on the line, you know, the three of us or four of us or whatever, then that's cool. And if you want to just interview with Steve, I mean, I'm really not attached to any outcome. So you guys just keep me posted.
Okay. That sounds. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. Have a
great
night.
Fun.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
There.
All right. I can hear you.
Good.
Awesome. Very good. I'm actually just pulling into my house right now, so I'm going to need a minute before I can fully drop in with you, but I'm here for the moment. What's up?
How much, good
sir?
Who am
I speaking with?
People say that our voices are similar, but I'm Doug. I'm in Boise, Idaho.
And my name is Will Morgan. I am in Denver, Colorado.
Cool. To talk to you guys finally. I guess we've been building
it. Yeah.
We were just talking about that. You've been on 42 Minutes a couple of times, but I don't think either of us have talked to you.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, a couple times, or at least one time with Alan.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. So it sounded like you guys tonight, you wanted to talk about, I don't know, maybe the essay or something, and then next time when we're with Steve, then we can talk about the video project?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't actually know anything about the video project.
Nor do I. Uh-huh. So, I mean, we'll basically, we have questions for you.
We can plug it. I mean, this is definitely a collaboration you two are doing. Is that correct?
A collaboration that we've discussed in depth. And, I mean, keep in mind, we live in the same city, so we spend a lot of time hanging out and dreaming up various schemes. And the video documentary is one of our favorite ideas. It's been brewing for a couple years, and a lot of puzzle pieces came together recently. You know, that's not really an open topic for conversation yet, though. I mean, not because of being secretive, but we just don't have enough information to really speak on it. Until, like, I feel that by the end of February, we'll have a much clearer picture because I'll be done with my work and he'll be situated back in Portland. So that's why I was saying maybe, you know, the four of us could have a chat once we have a little more info there.
Well, the tone color alchemy program, we can talk about that too, though, can't we?
Yes, for sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right, well, I just parked my car, so I'm just...
We will probably have to repeat that, though, because I am interested in when we start the show, because we really haven't started the show yet. I'm kind of letting you get settled a little bit, but you might have to repeat that, because I am interested. I mean, I think I can't remember where I saw it or where I got it from, but I just saw that there was something going on between you and Steve, and I know there's been talk about it in the past before, too, and that just sounds like a great collab, like a great, I mean... Most people would probably salivate to see any new Wilner anyways, but...
right. Yeah, all right, I'm just going to step into the house just for me.
Okay, so are you in Grants Pass, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Grants Pass, Oregon right now.
Okay. Yeah, and that's not far from the California border, or
I wouldn't say it's particularly close. It's probably a couple hours.
Okay.
So I mean, it's all relative.
How far south of Portland are you?
About 4.5 hours.
Yeah, but so then Steve has been hanging out down there with you for a while.
Well, no, Steve came by for some like 10 days or something, hung out with me, and we did some work together. All right. Just arriving in my room now, almost settled. Put down some luggage. It's been a long day, guys. I spent the last 2 days doing a bunch of pro bono work. It was like almost 10 hours of work I put in without getting paid. So it's been a rough ride. And my girlfriend just left for Peru today, so I probably won't be hearing from her for a couple of weeks. So it's all very energetically charged. Vortex. I also participated in a really deep ceremonial working with this ritual magician from Ashland, this guy who runs the Temple of Awakening Divinity. And there were some, you know, we were just doing plant spirit ceremony. And so when I came out of that was just 2 days ago. So it's like I'm in this really activated space right now, so it's probably a good time to do a show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably we should just start then.
Yeah, I'm
Let's see, I need to get ready too then. Okay, where's my email? And there's that, and there's my time clock. And so I'm set. You feeling good, Will?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, you get settled. If you need to get anything, Ezra.
Like some water, get comfortable.
If we just caught you on the way home.
Yeah.
I just got off of work, too, so I know how you feel, man. I know how you feel. I guess it would be worse if I wasn't getting paid, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I spend so much time over there. I'm like over there about 12 hours a day, so to put in 5 hours in 2 days is not really that much. But... energy.
Okay, well then, it's 38 in Seattle, 53 in San Francisco, 6 degrees. I need to put your thermostat up here, Will. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Kneel is collect and waste. Another year. Feel